What's up, everybody? Welcome to Moving the Goalposts. I'm Nick Mara, your host, joined by my co-host, Mike Masala. Mike, how are you now?
Doing well, brother. How are you?
Not so bad. We are also joined by co-host or producer extraordinaire, Andrew Meehan. Yeah, it's pretty much a co-host at this point.
Promotion.
Though,
wow.
Jack of all trades.
We all have to wear many hats.
Yeah.
It's just when you're a small operation, that's what you have to do. And that's what we do every single day. Gentlemen, I think we did a pretty decent job in the last episode going through the AFC teams and trying to figure out who was a contender and who was a pretender. We had an extra week of football played since our last recording, so we might actually have a little bit of a better idea for the NFC on which teams we think are going to really be able to compete for a championship and which teams are absolute frauds. So without further ado, I think we should just get right into it and start where we started with the AFC, and that's the top seed. And after Arizona lost to the Los Angeles Rams last night on Monday Night Football, the Green Bay Packers are now the top seed in the NFC at 10-3. Meehan, Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, very talented quarterback. Some drama happened during the season. Do you think that the Packers are contenders or pretenders?
Oh, they're contenders. Now ask me if I really trust Aaron Rodgers in getting past the AFC Championship, because that's the real question. They've been contenders for, oh my God, every single year since their last Super Bowl. But the question is do they have, yeah, he's talented and everything, but he hasn't been able to get over that final hump. So that's the final remaining question. Go back to last year, and there were definitely some questionable decisions on both the quarterback and the coach. They're contenders. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But do I have a whole lot of faith in them really getting to the Super Bowl? I mean, it's a broken record at this point. I'd like to see them, but I don't know. And Aaron Rodgers bothers me. He just bothers me anytime you hear him talk. Did you guys see the foot thing?
Putting his like foot the COVID the toe camera. Foot thing.
He's such a freaking bozo. He's so weird.
You know what though? It's like he knows what he's doing, so he's aware of it.
Yeah.
But he is a strange fellow. That's for sure. Masala, are you buying into the Packers hype?
Yeah, I think I am. I agree 100% with Meehan. They've kind of fallen below expectations pretty much every year. I think this might be one of their more talented teams that they've had. So if they can all like be healthy at the same time, I know they're trying to get some of their guys back. Za'Darius Smith, I don't know about Jaire Alexander. I don't remember what his injury was. But if they can get some of these guys back down the last four games of the season and into the playoffs, I think they have a pretty good chance going forward. In an NFC that is like kind of top heavy, it seems like, I think they should be able to at least win a couple games there. And I think, I don't know if they're necessarily the favorite in the NFC, but I do have them in that championship game.
I think going to Green Bay for a lot of people in the playoffs is usually a difficult feat. And in years past, we've seen the Packers not do everything that they can to get that top seed so that they've got home field advantage in that game. Last year was, I think, the first time since 2007 that Green Bay hosted an NFC championship game. And ironically, it's also the second time since 2007, not the second time they lost an NFC championship game, but I don't know if Aaron Rodgers playing at home against whatever opponent it may be is necessarily what's going to lift the Packers over the edge. I think the team is who they are. I don't think they're going to necessarily play better or worse, whether they're home or away. I think a lot of it's just going to come down to whatever the matchup is. The Packers are a difficult team for me because I do look at them as being one of those organizations that has a difficult time of getting over the hump. Me and you mentioned it before that time and time again, we see Rodgers in the situation not being able to follow through. But this year, I think, is a little bit different. The dynamic that was happening during the offseason in Green Bay was kind of weird, and it seems like things have sort of situated themselves to the point where we may be getting Rodgers coming back to the Packers, which I didn't think was going to happen at all during the offseason. I thought he was gone.
Going to host Jeopardy.
Yeah.
But then it makes you think, what the hell was the problem to begin with?
it almost was just like organizational identity. So now if they're all on the same page, you got to think that that's going to close some gaps and mend some fences or whatever you want to use. But as far as Green Bay being a contender or a pretender, I would agree. I think you have to give them credit for what they've been able to accomplish, the adversity they've gone through this season, whether it's self-imposed or not. I would say Green Bay is definitely a contender. Not so sure that they are necessarily a championship contender, though, but I think they could get to the game. Moving on. Also 10-3. We got three teams tied atop the conference at 10-3. In the second seed right now, defending Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Masala, TB12. Is he going to do it again?
I mean, it seems like it right now, man. This guy's incredible. On his way to a potentially another MVP season at this age with this team. Like, imagine 2 years ago. Just remember 2 years ago when, like, no one had thought the Bucs were a potential landing spot for Tom Brady. That wasn't even a question. It was like, oh, there are some teams, some cities that maybe him and his wife would like to live in. Some teams that are maybe set up for success right away. What Tom Brady has done to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is one of the more incredible things we've seen. And you can say that they were set up decently with Jameis and all they needed was a competent quarterback. What Tom Brady has done has taken them beyond competent into a Super Bowl contender. I pretty much as long as he's there and this is the setup, I think they're going to be in that game. Right now, I think they're better than the Packers overall. Randomly, you started getting LSU Leonard Fournette out of nowhere in the last few weeks. I don't know when that happened. If they can make a stop defensively, they win all these games because their front seven is really good. Their offense is really good. Their secondary, questionable. If you can get a stop here or there, this team should roll to the NFC Championship game.
Mian, do you have newfound confidence in Tom Brady?
Hold on. Here we go. Getting hung out to dry. I never don't have confidence in Tom Brady. But I am shocked. I am shocked that game went to overtime the other night. Great game, by the way, because the first two were crap. 2 1 o'clock slots were absolutely boring. Kind of shocked that game went to overtime, though. And that's a team. This is a team where it's really just the players, and you got to rely on the players to kind of get you there. Not really going to rely on the coaching. You know, looking at that game, I believe it was still in regulation. There's a minute left on the clock. Buffalo has no timeouts. Bruce took a timeout. Even if they should, I couldn't help myself but laugh when CBS pointed towards the sideline and got a camera shot at Brady, and he might as well have just said, "What the F are we doing?" He literally, you could read his lips. He just says, "What happened? Why are we taking a timeout?" Like, I don't know. I think Brady's got to, you know, he'll step in towards the playoffs and he'll keep Bruce on a short leash. And because, come on, let's not deny it. He wears the pants in that relationship. He has since maybe not since day one, but since, you know, he took the team over when they were 7-5. This is a team that is vulnerable, though. I mean, the fact that the Bills took it to overtime, a little shocking for me. But you know, you go back to, you could argue, you know, with the Patriots, it was emotional for Brady, but our defense did kind of have his number. Yeah, he didn't have Gronk. They still had two very capable tight ends. You know, he still had Evans, still had Antonio Brown, still had Goodwin. Their secondary pretty much eliminated Evans. They took out Godwin completely. I didn't see Godwin at all in that game. AB, you know, was here and there. So it is a team that is vulnerable. You know, if you kind of find some weak points. Look at the Colts. I mean, the Colts, I was more impressed with them taking that team down to the wire against the Bucs. You know, they lost to Washington. It's a vulnerable team, but they're absolutely a contender. I don't have a whole lot of faith in coaching. You know, I hope Tom kind of steps in there and tells Bruce to, you know, cut that out. But
he's going to kill him.
He's not going to kill him. But it was hilarious.
No, I don't want to kill anybody.
It was hilarious, though, seeing that. Just Brady, like, look around the sideline. Like, what are we doing? Like, yeah, what is Bruce doing?
I would agree with you. I think this team's going to have any success, it's going to be on the back of the shoulders of Tom Brady once again. And I don't know if they're necessarily as talented as they were last year. In theory, they should be better, but the defense has just been decimated by injuries since the beginning of the season. And even in the beginning of the season, it's not like they had a lot of depth in the secondary. So,
oh, but Nick, they brought back all 22 starters and they were supposed to go undefeated.
Yeah, they also had to sign Richard Sherman in the beginning of the year, only to then lose him for like half the season and then him come back last or two nights ago and make a play out of nowhere. I think that Tampa will be able to figure it out. They'll get to a point where they stop playing, you know, soft football, and they start taking every single minute of every single game seriously, because the way they were playing against Buffalo in the first half of that game, they were dominating.
Lights
and then
out.
They kind of took their foot off the gas pedal in the second half, and Buffalo clearly made it a game to make it go into overtime. But again, TB12's pulling the trigger. It's only a matter of time before you're going to win the game. Tampa Bay, though, last year they were able to win 3 road games on their way to a championship. This year, I think they would benefit the most out of all the NFC teams by getting the number one seed and getting a first round bye. But I'll say, regardless of where they finish in the conference, I think the Buccaneers are definitely a contender.
They've got an easy last 4 games still. Saints, Panthers, Jets, Panthers. If they don't win all 4 of those, shocking.
Yes, I agree. On to the third seed in the NFC, the Arizona Cardinals. Big, big loss last night. They went from the first seed in the NFC to the 3 seed in the NFC. Still at 10-3, still have double-digit wins, still leading the NFC West, but the gap has been closed by the Rams. Where do we stand on the Cardinals right now? Mian, are you looking at Arizona as a contender or a pretender?
You know, they're definitely a contender. I mean, it seems that the duo, the young duo of Murray and Cliff Kingsbury, cool guy Cliff, they've got a handle on things. You know, they've put quite the team together in the offseason. I was thinking this to myself because while I was at work, I had the game on in the background, and I completely forgot that J.J. Watt is out with injury for the rest of the season, right?
I believe it is, kind of.
Depends on who you ask.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that guy's always hurt in crucial times. Mostly the playoffs. But could you imagine, like, just quick side note, could you imagine if this team goes to the Super Bowl? Like, it's exactly what Watt did, you know, to get out of Houston, to go to a... Not that I thought Arizona was a contender. I definitely didn't think that they were going to be 10-3 in the offseason. But that would suck. That would absolutely suck. But I'm trying to look, as I thought they would have only dropped down to the second seed. Is that a
So technically the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, yes, they win the tiebreaker over the Cardinals based on strength of victory.
The
Buccaneers have a strength of victory of 492 and the Cardinals have a strength of victory of 446.
Trying to see who they've beaten and who the Bucs have lost to.
Tampa Bay, I believe, has lost to the Rams, and then they lost back-to-back games against the Saints and the football team. Classic football team.
So I don't know.
Pack. But are you buying into them, or do you think they were exposed?
I feel like you kind of see that with these teams that are 10-2. You kind of get those like humiliating points here and there in the season. I had the game on in the background. I was more so paying attention to the game broadcast that I was running. But from here and there, I just thought that the Rams offense was more so on their game last night. I definitely saw Kyler Murray make a good amount of missed throws last night. But I mean, I really don't see anything not to buy in. That doesn't get you to buy into this team.
Masala, where do you stand on the Cardinals?
I feel like I'm a little softer on the Cardinals than Mian is. I don't know. You haven't given your take yet, Nick, but I think they are similarly talented to the Bucks and also have that coaching issue. Like, I don't think Cliff is as good as a coach as some people may think he is. I think a lot of people are going to give him the nod for coach of the year this season. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I just don't know if Kyler is good enough to overcome that just yet. Like, Brady has that leadership, that killer instinct, and he's been in the league for 20 something years now, 22 years. I don't know if Kyler's there just yet. I think he's a really good player, and I think they have a ton of talent. If AJ Green is going to continue playing like it's 2017 again, then like, I don't know what to tell you. This is a really good team. Their defense, I think, is fourth in points allowed, allowing less than 20 a game this year. So they have a really good team overall. I just don't know if they can all put it together when they're playing against top competition over and over again. So I think they're definitely a playoff team and a chance to go to the NFC Championship game, but I don't see them as a Super Bowl contender.
To be honest with you guys, I look at the Cardinals now as complete frauds. I think that they were exposed on Monday night against the Rams. They showed that they're maybe not necessarily a one-dimensional team, but the construction of their roster has been what's carried them through the regular season. And I think once they get into one of those rough and tough postseason games, they're just not going to have the horses to carry them through. You look at really their playmakers on offense. DeAndre Hopkins, I don't know if I would call him a soft receiver, but he's not the most physical guy. I would certainly say that Kyler Murray is not a quarterback that is going to stand in the pocket and take hits, but the guy's so agile and so fast, he can escape the pocket and move pretty much anywhere. AJ Green, though, like, I'm not putting any faith in that guy. He's shown us for over a decade now that he's someone that you can't really depend on. And they're kind of hurt at running back. Chase Edmonds is still injured. James Conner has done a really good job in his absence. But I just don't think that the Cardinals are going to have enough. They might win a playoff game, but I see them losing in the divisional round for sure. Arizona Cardinals, for me, big, huge pretenders.
I could buy that.
I mean, they split with the Rams, so I think that's just, yeah, those are really two good teams in that division.
No, oh, yeah, the NFC West, I think, is one of the more competitive divisions, and I use that term competitive very loosely, because Arizona, the Rams, and the 49ers are all like here. And then you've got the Seahawks, who are still technically in postseason contention, all the way down there. But let's move on to the four seed in the NFC. That's
Timer up in the...
I do, yes.
Okay, yeah,
sorry. So we move on to the number four seed in the NFC. That's going to be the Dallas Cowboys, the leaders of the NFC East. They're sitting at 9-4. Couple of big wins on their schedule. Obviously, we saw them come into Foxborough and beat the Patriots in overtime. I am buying in on the Cowboys as a team that will make it to the divisional round, but they won't make it to the conference championship because I've never seen them do that. I just think that there's something in that franchise now that's like rotting and it's infected. Dak Prescott is a guy that I like, but having the star on his helmet is the part that I don't like. So I'll say the Cowboys are pretenders.
I think I would probably lean towards pretenders. I like their offense. Zeke clearly isn't the same player. Hurt me deeply on my fantasy team this year. I also believe that Mike McCarthy is a bozo, a boob, a buffoon, any of those three words. I don't think he's a good coach at all. And I think he kind of gets in the way a lot more than like a Bruce Arians or Cliff Kingsbury, like we just talked about. I think McCarthy is the worst of all three of them. They have some defensive pieces and they've definitely come on later in the season. Micah Parsons is a monster. Trevon Diggs has been in the right place at the right time. He's reminds me a lot of Marcus Peters. He takes a lot of chances. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
Does he strangle his assistant coaches?
I can't confirm.
Oh, okay.
but I don't think Dallas is a Super Bowl contender. I think they're, yeah, probably a win maybe.
Mian, what do you think about the Cowboys?
I want to say contender in a very, very loose terms. Because, again, the biggest thing for me, again, the coaching, Mike McCarthy, you know, I'm not going to repeat too much of what Masala just said. He's got to be the worst, you know, it's just as worse as Bruce Arians, but Zeke's not himself. That defense is something special, especially with Diggs and Micah Parsons. Let me look at their schedule. So, yeah, think about their last outing with Washington. Washington was kind of on the cusp of coming back. They only lost by, you know, only lost by one score. So what do they got up next for the last four? They got the Giants, they got Washington again, and then they got the Cardinals, which will be a big, that's huge in terms of playoff standings. If they could pull off that win, that's a 1 o'clock on January 2nd. That would be, you know, that's going to be a big test for them. I know that we just, some of us just said that, you know, the Cardinals are pretenders, still a talented football team to try to be in the regular season. Still a team that is going to be in that top just based off record, unless they lose all four straight, which I can't imagine they would. It's going to be a good test. It might mean a lot in the next 2 weeks for playoff standings. And then their last game is against the Eagles. Yeah, I don't know. You know, Washington is also in that seven seed, so that could be tough. Again, Washington was only a score out from winning that game. So I like them making the playoffs, but I just don't think they have. But it's like there's something missing. It's kind of like, what do we say about the Celtics? They're always one player away. I feel like that's the Cowboys. I feel like the Cowboys, as of recent, in recent years, they have a strong start. They have a strong start, but then they just fall apart.
It's an organizational infection.
Yeah.
It's like there's something wrong with the organization.
Right.
It's the management, or it's the coaches, it's the lack of attention to detail. Yeah, there's something that separates Dallas from being the type of team that can compete and be serious championship contenders year in and year out, and just being another team that, because they're in the NFC East, they'll win a bunch of games and make the playoffs, but then they get exposed against a much, much better team.
Right. I mean, look at their game against the Patriots. Where were they on their own side of the field when on their first opening drive, McCarthy decided to go for it on, what was it, 4th and 2, and they got stuffed? That's playing with way too much confidence. That's not a call to make, but like right then and there. And again, you only lost because Belichick took the keys to the defense after that game because he was sick of seeing everything that Steve and, you know, Mayo were conjuring up that clearly didn't work. You heard Devin McCourty say it in the press conference after the game. We were making good calls. We were in the right call. I mean, I think if the Patriots were where they're at currently, they win that game. Absolutely, hands down.
So. Yeah, and I think that Dallas probably went through a little bit of a dip after that game, but they've turned the page now where they're winning games, and I think they're winning games pretty competitively, despite Dak Prescott trying to throw the ball away and give the game away his last time out. Moving on, those are the four division leaders. Now we're going to the first wild card spot. Moving on to the number 5 seed, the Los Angeles Rams. Again, big winners in their Monday night football matchup against the Arizona Cardinals. The Rams have been, I would say, one of the more inconsistent teams this year. Obviously, they started off red hot. Their offense under Matthew Stafford this year, it basically was unstoppable at the beginning of the year. But then it seemed like they slowed down, lost some games that they probably should have won. Los Angeles is sitting at 9-4. They're one game behind the Cardinals for the lead in that division. Where do you guys put Los Angeles among the other teams in the NFC? Mian, do you have LA as a contender or a pretender?
Oh, I have them as a contender. I think you've got a repurposed, rejuvenated Matthew Stafford. Looking at that team on Monday night, and going back and looking at highlights too after the game, because I couldn't watch the full thing or in its, you know, at its potential. It was, you know, the Rams are a team that dominated on both sides of the ball last night. You know, turnovers on defense. They looked, you know, they just were executing left and right on offense. I was concerned with the Odell signing because now he's coming into an offense with Cooper Kupp, with Robert Woods. Robert Woods goes on the IR. Still convinced that he took like a lead pipe to Robert Woods' knees or something, but
it was probably his father.
Dad, go take that guy out. He's going to steal reps.
But he's still what I learned it. In Cleveland.
What that one girl, Tanya Harding, do?
Yeah.
What'd she do to that one? What'd she do to that one chick?
As he like lays back on the, he like lays back on a couch with lipstick and crosses the name off the wall.
Boy, am I glad I called that guy. But you like the Rams?
I do. I think again, you've got Matthew Stafford, who's really been playing for one thing his entire career, but was just at the wrong. He was in the wrong franchise. You know, that's, let's look at the Sony Michel trade. You know, they're getting a competent running back. And all I could think of to Sony was, you know, and comparing it to past trades that Belichick has made during training camp leading into the offseason, that's not a bad team Sony landed on. He's going to a contender. That doesn't happen a whole lot with these types of trades. You get shipped off to, look at Jamie Collins. You know, that didn't happen during training camp, but first 4 weeks he gets sent to Cleveland. Not ideal. Sony landed on a good team, man. That's not a bad destination to get traded to. So I like him. I think it's something to buy into. Not a huge fan of Sean McVay, but you know, they got the quarterback, they got a team, you know, bring in Von Miller. Von Miller is competing at least for one more Super Bowl in the last leg of his career, whether it's, you know, a year from now or whatever his plans are. I like this. I like it's definitely a team to buy into the hype.
Masala, are you buying into the hype as well?
I think so. If you had asked me a week ago or right around when we did the AFC contenders and pretenders, I don't know if I would have bought in as much as I do now. I think the Cardinals win changes that a little bit. And just looking back at their schedule, like their losses, I think I was specifically down on that Tennessee loss, like right after Derrick Henry got hurt. It was their first game without Derrick Henry. So you're kind of thinking like, this might take the team a couple weeks to adjust to such a big loss. They're basically their whole offense at this point. AJ Brown's kind of been in and out. Julio's been not what you expected. And the Rams came up short. You've had a bunch of reports this year about Matt Stafford's health. If he's healthy and you get like Jalen Ramsey, who was out with COVID yesterday, Tyler Higbee was out with COVID, Darrell Henderson was out with COVID. Like all these guys are starters who are valuable to this team. And you were still able to go compete against one of the best teams and I wouldn't say win by a large margin, but win convincingly. I would say with the one touchdown victory, I think this is a good team, well coached, a lot of talent. If they're healthy, I think they should be in that conversation for the last two teams in the division and in the conference.
Mike, I'm right there with you. I would have had Los Angeles as a pretender a couple of weeks ago, but that it's not even necessarily the game against the Cardinals because the win doesn't make me feel more confident in the team. It was more their ability to bounce back from a really ugly stretch right around the time that they acquired Odell Beckham and Von Miller and basically said, we are going to continue to sell the future, F the future, and do everything we can to try and win this season. I don't know if I can buy in fully, though, because as much as Matthew Stafford is clearly a better quarterback than Jared Goff, has been his entire career, and we're seeing it especially now that he's in a good program with a good coach, a coach that I like. I think he's probably going to, at some point in his career, win a Super Bowl. But, you know, he is still young, and it might not happen right away. So it's ironically, the reasons that I like the Rams are partially because of the coach and the quarterback, but part of the reason why I don't think they're actual Super Bowl contenders because of the coach and the quarterback. They haven't proven that to me yet. I have more faith in McVay than I do Stafford because I think McVay can get Stafford there. I just need to see that Stafford's not going to screw it up the way that maybe not that Jared Goff did, but Jared Goff could have. I like the Rams though. I think that this is a team that should be locked to making it to the NFC Championship. They'll probably be another team that has to play most of their games, if not all their games, on the road. So it could be more challenging for them. But at 9-4, one game behind the Arizona Cardinals, they're right there for that division. And I will say the Rams are contenders for a conference championship. Not quite sure that they're at the level of serious Super Bowl contenders, at least for me.
Yeah. It's almost like you wonder if McVay was ready for that first Super Bowl appearance. And now you've got confidence because he's been there before. He's been there and done that. And you definitely didn't have a quarterback at the time who was not ready at all for that. But if you had to give me Goff or Stafford, you'd pick Stafford every day to go to be in that environment and make that appearance, at least be ready for it.
Absolutely.
So I think you've got the duo to do it now compared to your first appearance with McVay.
For sure. Moving on to the number six seed, we've got maybe a team that nobody expected to be in a playoff position right now. San Francisco 49ers sitting at 7-6. Another team that's gotten hot over the last month plus and figured out a way to win games, no matter how pretty or ugly, they're coming through. They're climbing up the standings. They're making noise. They're competing in every single game that they play now. The struggle with the 49ers is that they're 1-4 against their division. And if they're going to make the postseason, it's going to have to be through more divisional wins. They got, what do they play? 8 games against the division, 6 games against the division. So there's one more divisional opponent. I would imagine it's, I don't know exactly who it is, but I would imagine that game is going to be sort of like a swing game. It is against the Rams. Yeah. That's going to be a big, big, big swing game for the 49ers. Then, San Francisco is in pretty much must win territory now through the regular season. If they want to make it to the playoffs, I don't even know if I could call them pretenders because I think they are who they are. Like, they're a 500 team. This is a team that will probably finish 9-8 or, you know, maybe 10-7, somewhere around there. But to say that they're contenders, I don't think they're going to make it to the conference championship, and I certainly don't think they're going to make it to the Super Bowl. I'll call the 49ers pretenders. Mike, are you in on the 49ers? Or are you out on the 49ers?
No, I'm pretty much right in lockstep with you right now. They like you said, they have 4 games left. 2 of them are tough. 2 of them are pretty easy. They play the Titans, Rams, Falcons, and Texans in those last 4 games. I think this is a team that is good enough, but when you're losing games against the Seahawks, who have been pretty bad most of the year, you're not going to, I don't think you're going to be a contender for a Super Bowl or an NFC Championship game. Like you said, this is a team that could be a playoff team or right on the cusp of that. You can't be 500 anymore because there's 17 games, but if you are right in that 2 or 3 game window of being 500, I think that's exactly where they deserve to be. And not a lot of people had them being that this year. It was kind of a question of whether or not they were bad enough for Trey Lance to potentially take over, or if they were going to let Jimmy ride out the rest of the year and kind of move on from him and get another good pick or something. They haven't done either of those things. They're kind of just right in the middle, which is not exactly where you want to be, but that's where they find themselves right now.
Yeah. Right around that 500 mark. Andrew, are you feeling confident about the 49ers, or are you going to jump on the bandwagon with me and Masala saying that they're a bunch of pretenders?
Yeah. I don't think they have I don't think they have enough to be a contender. I think they could sneak into that last, at least that last seed. So, you know, you got Washington at number 7 right now. Looking at the 49ers' last 4 games. So their last game of the season, that's what we just talked about, the Rams. January 9th. Yeah, kind of froze. My Safari web browser froze for like the entire time that you guys were talking. So I had to like scramble and re-search all this stuff.
Got to be a Chrome guy. That's why.
I know,
Mike, are you a Chrome or are you a Firefox?
Chrome only, always Chrome game.
Chrome game. Safari, I do like Safari though. I do like Safari. I just don't use it.
Anything else? I'm just kidding. All right, so they got 49ers, got Falcons, Titans, Texans, Rams. So if they can at least go 2-2, I would have to say that they'd probably lose to the Titans and the Rams and beat the Falcons and the Texans, and definitely beat the Texans. Or maybe you flip-flop the results with the Falcons and the Titans. I don't know, because I'm not so sure about this team. I'm not so sure about Jimmy G. I've never really been that sure about Jimmy G. I mean, could you imagine if we had that, if we traded for that guy and he was behind that O-line for the first 4 weeks? I don't know. Good. I couldn't conjure up the list of injuries that he would be out with, because he's just so freaking injury prone. He can't stay healthy. And I don't think Trey Lance is the answer either. An FCS quarterback who hasn't played, a game in a year? I was kind of shocked when they took that pick at number 3. You know, I heard, you know, talk of it a couple days ago where it's like, oh, so after this season, do you move on from Jimmy G and do you go back to Trey Lance? To be honest with you, I think that was a waste of a pick. You know, what game was it that Lance came in for when Jimmy G was out with like a sore thumb or a splinter or whatever?
I think he even made an appearance in week one. Scored his first touchdown in week one.
Yeah, they kind of like platooned it for a little bit or whatever, or tried to, or that's what people were thinking they were going to do. There's just nothing to buy in with this team. They might have, being 9-8 might be enough to slip into one of those last two seeds, but 1-done, easy out.
Yeah, no question about it. San Francisco pretenders, and Kyle Shanahan is like the frauds fraud. He's like the king of frauds. He is. And it took me until this year to finally recognize that. But yeah, I don't think he really knows what he's doing outside of maybe designing an offense. Maybe.
A quarterback whisperer who doesn't whisper to anything.
Right. Last wild card spot. The Washington football team. I'm just going to say that they're contenders to make the playoffs, because nobody ever expects Washington to really do anything. Yes. So, yeah, they're definitely going to sneak in and do something. 6-7 right now. Who knows who's going to be playing quarterback for them? Who knows who's going to be healthy on defense for them? The whole franchise is a disaster, but they figure out a way to play for a guy like Ron Rivera. He gets the guys to buy in, it seems like. And for that reason, solely because of Ron Rivera, and if Taylor Heinicke is semi-healthy, I think he's got enough guts to try and gut out a win. Yeah, I'll take Washington as a contender to make the playoffs and make a little bit of noise. When I say a little bit of noise, though, that does not mean that I think they're going to make it to the conference championship game, but look what they did to Tampa Bay last year. I would say them losing that game but playing as well as they did was surprising to a lot of people. And I think it would be not wise to expect Washington to not be able to do that again. Mian, where are you on the football team?
I'm bought in. Taylor Heinicke revenge season, baby. He already had his revenge game against Tampa Bay. Took care of business in Washington. Give me Taylor Heinicke. I want more Heinicke. Guy was a Patriot for what, 5 minutes?
But when you say you're buying in, are you buying in, or where? Like, explain a little bit.
You know, I just want chaos in the world. You know, I just want to pour fuel on the fire. No, it's just, I think it makes things interesting, because again, it's like you expect a franchise like that to do nothing, but that. You know, that speaks to the division that they're in. It's awful. You if you're in the NFC, Jesus, the NFC East, it's like, you know, the Eagles aren't going to do anything. You know, the Giants aren't going to do anything the last couple of years. So if you're Washington, it's like you've just been waiting. All right, Dallas is off to a good start. Let's wait for them to start to fall apart and we win the division. It's like, that's what you're waiting for. It's a big pile of crap. It's the AFC South. But like, yeah, it's, you're just buying in because it just makes it interesting. It's like, you kind of know and you kind of have it set who's going to be where in the NFC. At least you could probably guess. You could guess a lot easier than what the AFC is going to be. But it just makes it interesting. Give me round two, Tampa and Washington at Tampa. I don't know what the under will be, or I don't know what the spread will be, but my money is being placed on Washington. Give me that. Let's go.
I love the confidence. I love it.
Where did you get that helmet?
Signed by Joe Gibbs. Dad won that at a work auction.
Put it on.
Put it on?
Put it on. Put it on. Come on. Put it on. All right, fine. Masala, what are you thinking about Washington?
I don't think Washington is going to make the playoffs. We're at the point right now. They have four games left. They're all division games. They have two games left against Philly, one game against Dallas, and one game against New York. There's a real chance that they win only one of those games, and it's the game against New York, because like Jake Fromm might be starting by that point. Who knows? I think the Eagles or like the Vikings, one of these teams on the bubble, are going to end up taking the seventh seed from them. And I think Washington, Taylor Heineke, Kyle Allen, Ron Rivera are going to fade into the night this wow. season.
Wow. Very, very, very down on Washington.
Hater.
And after all that hype, after all those good reasons, nothing could convince you to come off that take?
They're a bottom 10 team in offense and defense. This is not good.
Good point.
Flat out not good.
Good point. Yeah. I even though they are seventh right now, with four games left to play, yeah, I they'll probably be figured out in one way, shape, or form. But I'm not coming off my take. I'm still saying they're going to contend and they will make noise in the playoffs.
I mean, I got to look at real quick before we move on to the next team, which I think is Minnesota, right?
Yes.
So Minnesota's. Oh yeah, I forgot all these tabs closed on me. Vikings have a tough rest to the. A tougher stretch, I think, out of some of these teams that are kind of fighting for that seventh, maybe sixth, kind of like right on the cusp.
So you know what? Let's move on. Let's move on to the Vikings then. It's because they're also 6-7. There's five teams tied in the NFC at 6-7, just so everybody knows. Minnesota, Philadelphia, Atlanta, New Orleans, and Washington. I look at the Vikings as being pretenders. I don't buy into, I used to buy into Mike Zimmer. I think the guy's coaching for his job now, and that's why they kind of rushed Dalvin Cook back, and it paid off for them. They ended up winning a game that they had to win to stay in the race. I think this is a team that's probably going to falter down the stretch. I don't trust Kirk Cousins. Defensively, I don't even really know what Minnesota does well. I think Minnesota is a pretender. If I had to eliminate one of those teams at 6-7, Minnesota would probably be one of the first ones to go. Maybe not the first ones, but the easy pretender for me. No, I forgot to tell Mike, you can go ahead. You talk. Go ahead.
The Vikings, speak. as much as I want to enjoy like just watching their offense, and they're like a mini version of the Rams offense. They're just like a poor man's Rams team, because they have these good wide receivers. They have Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, and they have, their coach is bad. Their defense is bad. Mike Zimmer's done. Their defense has been like below Washington's as far as points allowed. I don't have a ton of faith in them. Like you had mentioned, they have a tougher last four games. I don't see them being in. I don't know if they're, of all the 6-7 teams, they're my first team out, but they're definitely out as well.
Ian, your turn.
So their last four games of the season, they got Bears, Rams, Packers, Bears. After what I saw from that Sunday night game, did you guys watch it? Bears, Green Bay?
I did.
Holy crap. Yes. Made me want to take my pants off. But anywho, I think the Bears have the capability of at least splitting that series, that last divisional series of the year. Rams take that game. Packers take that game easily. I know what the Packers lost in the last couple of... Was it OT? No, it wasn't an overtime game, right? I know that the Vikings won their first matchup against...
Every Vikings game is an overtime game.
Yeah, pretty much. Just depends on whether or not it ends with a 65-yard kick.
Right. It's they're choke artists. They choke. I mean, look at their last game Thursday night against the Steelers. If Chase Claypool knew how to play in kind of like a game clinching moment, maybe the Steelers come back and win. So if I look at another bump, you know, well, no, not a bubble team. Washington's on that's isn't that seventh seed. But again, those teams that are fighting for that last spot, Washington has Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles, Giants. I will take Washington going 3-1 in those games and the Vikings going maybe probably 1-3, maybe 2-2 in their last four games. I don't buy into them sneaking in at all.
So we're all out on the Vikings. I love it when we all agree. Kirk Cousins says,
you like that, except we don't. I don't like that.
You don't like us.
Classic.
You like that. You like that. No, we don't, Kirk.
The next team, also at 6-7, the Philadelphia Eagles. Who's playing quarterback for them? Is it still Jalen Hurts?
I think that's the plan. They haven't really said anything.
No, and then this is obviously Nick Sirianni's first year as a head coach. 6 wins, probably more than I predicted him to get at the beginning of the season based on his press conference. Didn't really seem super sure of himself. So Philadelphia, though, I'm looking at all these teams bunched up at 6-7, and I'm trying to think to like which one will have an easier time separating from the others. I don't have Philadelphia as one of those teams. Philadelphia, they're a pretender. They're not making the playoffs either.
No.
Meehan, Eagles, what you got?
Oh, Gardner Minshew's going to lead them to the promised land.
Did you see mustache?
Did you see that out? I went as Gardner Minshew my senior year for a Halloween party. I went as Gardner Minshew. Aviators, headband, Fu Manchu, everything. Really proud of myself. He's my spirit animal.
Are you buying into him leading this team into a playoff spot?
No. Again, it's I think we're at the end of the road with, you know, who's going to be making the playoffs now. It's just not going to be enough. So they
Masala's got this look on his face right now. Like he's about to come at us with like some statistic that we're not expecting.
Washington Giants, Washington Cowboys. I say they lose to the Cowboys. Maybe split it with Washington. I don't know.
Mike, what do you think?
I don't like the Eagles. Like, I don't like their quarterback and I don't like their coach, but I think they have a better chance than the other teams. I think they get to the seventh seed. And me and had just mentioned that right before this, when we were talking about the Eagles, that he thinks that the Washington has the chance of taking both games. I think the Eagles have a chance of taking both games. I think the Eagles are a better team than Washington, and if they sweep that game, they end up in the seventh seed. So I really think that is real potential to happen. I think they're offensively, they're the 12th ranked offense right now, and 16th ranked defense. So they're right in the middle of the pack, opposed to a Washington team that's bottom 10 and on both stats. So I have no reason to believe in Philadelphia other than the fact that I just think they have like more there than what Washington has right now.
It's the classic tallest of the little people
type right
situation. It's like right, they're not great, but they're better than everybody else. Or you think they're better than everybody else. I can see that justification. Philadelphia. No, I'm out on Philadelphia. Out on Philadelphia.
I don't want to be in on Philadelphia.
There's just something about them that makes you that the schedule. What did you mean? You said they play the Giants, Washington twice, and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's all divisional teams. They get hot in the last month of the season. Now you're looking at them as like the number 4 seed in the entire conference. But I just don't think that they've got the horses to make it happen. Moving on to team that's sitting number 10 in the NFC. That's the Atlanta Falcons. No, I'm also no on the Atlanta Falcons. Arthur Smith, I thought based on some press conferences that I heard him do in the beginning of the season, it seemed like he knew what he was talking about and he was a pretty good leader. After that Patriots debacle, I looked at the Falcons as just being a team that is defeated. And I don't know what they're going to be doing in this final month of the season, but Matt Ryan, he's got what? Kyle Pitts and sometimes Calvin Ridley. Is Calvin Ridley even playing, or is he still off the reservoir? I got it right that time, by the way.
I think he's still on leave.
What'd you say the first time?
Oh, we don't need to readdress that.
Oh, now I remember.
I don't like the Falcons, though. I'm not buying in on the coach. I'm not buying in on the quarterback. I don't think that they have enough horses on offense to score a lot of points. Out on the Falcons, they're pretenders at 6-7. What do you guys think?
I think they've overachieved a little bit. I don't think anybody really thought they would be like more than like a 4-win team, kind of like they were last year. They've already had 6 wins with 4 games left. Kyle Pitts has been as advertised. He's been really good, and they have nothing else. That's exactly what we've seen this season. Calvin Ridley has played, I think, like a third of the games, which like, that's fine. Like get your stuff figured out. That's okay. But they just don't have, like you said, they don't have the amount of talent that they need to make a playoff run here or do anything beyond that. So yeah, I'm out, obviously out on the Falcons as well. Plus they scorned me forever and I'll never love them again.
Tough to bet on. Tough team to bet on. Mian, what you think?
I think there's something there. There is something there. I mean, if I'm Matt Ryan, I think he has like one or two more years left on his contract. If I were him, I said this the other day, I think it was during their their second game against Tampa Bay, which was 2 weeks ago, I believe. Yeah. So I said, like, I think I put it out on a tweet too. If I'm Matt Ryan, I'm asking for a trade whenever, like, or I'm asking for a trade or I'm getting the hell out of there in free agency whenever my contract is up. But I feel like there is something there. I mean, their first matchup against Tampa at the beginning of the season, they were in it, but Matt Ryan throws 2 pick-sixes. So is it the quarterback, or is the quarterback not in the right, not in the right place? But I just feel like, I don't know what it's like on the tip of my tongue. There's something there with that franchise to salvage. Maybe I would have to lean more towards the coaching. Maybe it's got to be the coaching. Maybe that's not right yet. But you do have something there. I mean, I do like, Kyle Pitts has obviously been a good pick. Cordarrelle Patterson, I think, has done well, the way they've used him as a halfback.
Yeah, I totally forgot about Cordarrelle Patterson. Him. He's had like one of the biggest bounce back seasons like I've ever seen in the NFL. Not even bounce back season. It's like you can't even say that he's resurrected his career. He had no career this successful other than returning kicks.
You know, they got the 49ers, they got Lions, Bills, Saints. I mean, I think it's too late for this team because there's too many. There's a lot of other teams I'd rather pick that are on the cusp and are outside looking in. They're going to end up in that 7 seed, maybe the 6 seed, but I just don't think it's with the Falcons. But it's like, and I don't know. I feel like I've watched this team a couple of times this season where it's like, oh, you idiots. Like,
yeah, like, you're falling into the trap that Mike used to fall into.
Like,
false sense of hope.
So then that, maybe it's the coaching. Maybe they haven't hit on the coaching yet. I don't know. I see you.
You can't stay with that ex. She's bad for you. I promise.
Okay. I'm making an executive decision here. Unless you guys want to include these next 3 teams, I would say we get the cutoff at the final team that's 6-7 sitting in the 11th seed, the New Orleans Saints. If you guys feel as though the Panthers or the Seahawks at 5-8 could also be considered contenders in any way, shape, or form, why don't we just throw it in? So let's lead off with Nasala. 6-7, New Orleans Saints, 11 seed, contender or pretender?
No, I think all of these teams are all pretenders. They're all less than 500. Not a whole lot of hope there. I think as soon as Jameis went down with the Saints, I think their season was done. I think maybe as soon as Michael Thomas said he wasn't coming back, I think the season might have been done there. They don't really have much going on. Have a very solid defense. Their offense, I don't care if you're rolling out Trevor Siemian or Taysom Hill, I don't see a whole lot there, despite Taysom Hill having a pretty decent week this last week.
Mian, Saints.
Falling apart at the quarterback position. As much as I like Taysom Hill, I don't think he's the guy. I don't think he can be. I don't think he's had many moments where, you know, it sticks out. It's like, there he is. He's a utility player. He's a utility player in the NFL. He can be, you know, this, that, he wears many caps, jack of all trades, master of none. Falling powered at the quarterback position, I just don't see them making a good enough push.
No, you guys, but you both said it. It's all about the quarterback with New Orleans. That's what's going to keep them from being able to compete in the conference. I liked the team at the beginning of the year. I thought that they had something. And then, like you said, once Winston goes down with the torn ACL and Michael Thomas says, well, I'm not coming back anymore, that was kind of the stick a fork in them for the Saints. So yeah. I will also say that they are pretenders. Whew. Boys. NFC seems like it is a disaster, mm-hmm. if we're being honest. I did not expect for all these teams so close to one another to be so different. I've got the Packers as contenders, the Buccaneers as contenders, and the Rams pretty much as contenders, and that's about it from this conference, to win a championship or make it to the championship. But no, I think either way that we look at it, the final four games of this season are going to be great. We've gotten past all the bye weeks, so all 32 teams are going to be active from here on out, and it's winning season. It's time to figure out who's going to get a shot at the chip and who's going to be playing golf in February. I think that's going to do it for episode 67.
67.
Jacob Zaboral 67.
I'm going to say it's 67 is the worst number in sports.
A 67. There's got to be baseball players that wore 67. Has to be. Offensive lineman.
Ted Karras, 67.
Ted Karras, 67. Yeah, that's a good one. 67. Mike, you got anything for 67?
I'm looking up numbers now because I don't. This is a.
Yeah.
It's the worst number in sports.
It's a tough one. It's definitely a tough one. But that's going to do it for episode 67 of Moving the Goalposts. As always, we want to make sure that you folks are following along throughout the week on social media. I'm available at Twitter or on Twitter at NickMara94. Mike is available on Twitter at Mike_Masala. Producer extraordinaire, Andrew Meehan. You can catch him on Twitter at Meehan_83. Miguel, till next time.
Later, brother.
Peace.